All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you have been blessed this morning, shout another amen.
Amen.
If you have been challenged this morning, give me another amen.
Amen.
Indeed, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Yeah, what I want is, I just wanted to read out two topics I'm supposed to be teaching. The first one is titled Success is Who You Are. And the second one is Character is All You Need. And I want to take both of them combined today. I began yesterday by talking about the importance of the Word of God, that until we understand it, we cannot use it effectively in our lives. We will not comply with it effectively. I will not be effective ministers and missionaries and business people, whatever we are in life, if we don't understand that word effectively. And that's what I said yesterday by explaining the fact that the Word of God is the gospel of Jesus, more like, is the power of God. And what that means is that it is by it that God is solving the problems of this earth. It is by the gospel. And like we're hearing earlier, you go to certain places, and the story you were telling us was, which year, sir? The one about this albino girl. Just about 2 years ago, some people had never heard that it's possible, that they had never heard, you understand, that it's possible for some people to live a normal life, even though they don't look like you, or if you give birth to a set of twins, they can be normal people. That is, they had never heard. It's not as if they are evil in their hearts. I don't know whether you get to my point. They had never heard that that's a possibility. Listen, the only way by which God will solve all those problems is by the entrance of His gospel. You were saying something earlier about Islamic areas, which most of these places are predominantly, and how one man ran to you having had a dream. You know, when I was coming to Onitsha yesterday, I knew I would stay till tomorrow. So I said, okay, when I'm not doing anything, what will I be doing? So I came with my computer. I said, okay, let me pick books I'm going to read. So I picked a book again. I don't know whether I dropped it or not. I bought this book early on in the year, or was it late last year? I was watching a program on TV, Christian TV. I've forgotten which of the channels now. But one man was now talking about what God is doing in where most of us think God is not doing anything, like Saudi Arabia, you know, Kuwait, those kind of places. So how God was meeting people through dreams and visions. So they now advertised the book, what that the man wrote. So I quickly ordered it, you know, I ordered it online and then had it delivered to my friend's house in the U.S. So they now sent it down to me. I brought the book, and if I brought it, it would be nice for you to read it. I'm not sure I came with it, but I was looking at my bag, how many days are you saying, how many things are you going to read? So I don't know whether I dropped it. But it's a book I share with people a lot. In fact, a friend of mine just returned it not too long ago. Because you'll be amazed that, like you said, God is already in Nineveh. Jonah is somewhere else. He doesn't realize that God is actually there. There are places, there was one man, he was kidnapped. He's a preacher, he was in Egypt. He was kidnapped by a gunman, an Islamic militant, an Al-Qaeda member, you will assume. The man was sleeping, somebody just broke his door down, cocked a gun, put it to his head, get up. Now, if you were the one, this story I've told you now, what would you think? This man is dead. He's a preacher. He used to teach, he was a teacher of the word. I don't know whether I was a pastor in that area, but they knew him. So one day night he was sleeping, they broke his door, put a gun to his head, told him to get up. So he got up, the man who came to kidnap him carried him to a far place, jumped through a fence, threw him over a wall, whatever it is. Finally, he got into a hall that was locked. Oh, but at that time, he blindfolded him, dragged him everywhere, now made him sit down. After that, I think they put on the light, removed his blindfold, and he saw all the imams gathered. They said, sorry, that we had to kidnap you. That is the only way we can hear what you have to say. If you come during the day, trouble. So they went to kidnap him. He thought he was dead. He saw them, plenty of them. You know, some real clerics. They sat in a circle. They put him in the center. Please begin to preach. You know, in a hidden place. Nobody knew, apart from them and the man who went to bring him. Modern day story, not story of 1922. Another man, he was walking on the road in the market. One woman saw him. Hey, you. So he looked and ran. So the woman started pursuing this, not physical running, but he was dodging. It was a marketplace. The woman kept on following him. Finally, the woman caught up with him. You, I know you. He looked, he's a Christian. Ah. You know, see one woman with, you know, covering and all of that. Where did you know me? He said, I see you in my dreams all the time. Ah. He said, there's a man who used to come to her dreams. And the man said, so that she could hear the other things she's supposed to hear, that she will introduce him to his friend. And that friend was that man she saw in the market. So the man introduced you to me in the dream, that when I see you, you will talk to me. So the man understood. That was not his first experience. He had that kind of experience with somebody else before. So they went to a place in a field, and the woman sat down. And he began to preach the gospel to her. I explained everything. That was it. He said the Lord used to appear to her in a dream and used to talk to her. So finally he said, don't worry, one of my friends will come and talk to you. Which one of them? So that guy just showed up in the dream. He said, that's him. When you see him, I talk to him. So one day he just went to the market. Now I see the man who came to market also. That's why he started running after him. You, stop. I know you. As a matter of fact, God is in Nineveh. If you believe that, say amen. He's there. You know, you'll be amazed at what he's doing. As a man I know, I read also inside that book, he goes to Mecca every year. Always there. He's a Christian. He follows for the Hajj. That is where he preaches his own gospel. As people are milling around, throwing stones, he's there with them. He just tap you. Do you have any problem? They always have a problem. Okay, I can help you out. How do you help me out? I'll pray with you. The person says, oh, thank you. And then he tells the person, listen, I want to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And they never mind. Right there in the center of Mecca, where it is a crime, punishable by death, to be a Christian. And the signs are there. They let you know. This is the holy land of Islam. If you're not a Muslim, don't come near. No matter what else you are, don't come near. And they put the signs there. He goes all the time. That is his own mission field. He's always there. It's a beautiful book. When I saw the book, I said, so God is actually doing things that, you know, most of us think he's sleeping. Look, you're talking about Nigeria. I was just telling you earlier, a friend of mine is a pastor there. And it annoys him. It annoys me also. Anytime you hear Christians down south saying that, let's divide the country. So he says, like we were saying earlier, they say as if it's to solve the problem. Like, if you like divide into two. He says, what even annoys him that divide it for who now? You think the Christians in the north are southerners. That's why you talk like that. That indeed the Christians there, most of them are from there. They're not southerners. So if you divide it, who have you left them for? The last time I was there, at the hotel I stayed in, where they lodged me in, I forgot my phone, so before we came to his house. Anyway, something happened. When we got there, it was a Sunday, after church service. I went back to the hotel to go and pick my phone. So I got there, it was late, and they had not cleaned the room for the day. So I was surprised. Especially I opened the door and the room is very clean already. And it wasn't clean. Very nice hotel. So I think we came back again later. All right. They went asking somebody cleaning it. Was a lady, obviously from there, a Hausa lady from that area. So he was just telling her that, why didn't you clean this room since morning? She said she went to church. It was a Sunday. She just came back from church. That's why she's reporting to clean late. He was not asking her which church does she go to and all of that. And it struck me again that, you know, you will have assumed that, you know, for those who have not been there, you assume that every person there is a Muslim and all the Christians are from the south. But it is not true. It is absolutely not true. All right? There are many more things that I've discovered over time I could share with you, but it's not my own message for this morning. But just to confirm some of the words that we have heard, and for us to know that indeed the gospel, that's what I began to preach yesterday, is a light. It is a light. It is a way by which God will solve the problem of this earth. God actually is contending for the land. Not just the land of Nigeria, any piece of land you find on this earth, God is contending for it. That is, and he wants us to fight with the truth, not with bow and arrow and gun and no. With the preaching of the truth, the practice of righteousness, and then claim the land for God. That's what he does, all right? The Lord is good. What have I said? The gospel, I was saying, is the power of God unto salvation, all right? All right, so let me now continue into the main things I was supposed to be teaching. First of all, success is who you are. I'm combining with the fact that character is also all you need. I'm going to read a few scriptures as I begin to teach, and I want you to follow me, please. The Lord is good. Now, I think there's a scripture I want to start with. When Paul was speaking, I didn't have it on my list earlier, but I think that would just be perfect for us to start with that. And that was Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians. Then he said that there are divisions amongst you and all of that. So just quickly open your Bible to 1 Corinthians. Just get the very one I want. From chapter 3. Now, the people were divided about which camp each person would be in. Are you of Paul? Are you of Apollos? In verse 5. Okay, let me just read in context. From verse 1, it says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh or carnal people. Verse 2 says, I gave you milk to drink, for you were not able to receive solid food, he was saying. And answered in verse 3, for the reason is because you are still carnal, still fleshly, since there is jealousy and strife among you. Now verse 4 says, I'm jumping now so as to save time. For when one says, I am of Paul, another says, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men, that is, walking like mere men? Now please, this is my emphasis, verse 5. What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. I like the words that King James used there, so beautiful. He said, but God gave the increase. And that's so important. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was the one giving the increase. Verse 7 says, so then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth, or God who gave the increase. He said, now he who plants and he who waters are one. That is on the same side. They are the same kind of characters in this scenario. But each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, not according to the fruit. Please notice that carefully. God does not reward you according to the fruit. He rewards you according to what? Your labor. He doesn't care whether it bore fruit or it didn't bear fruit. He rewards you according to your labor. That's why you hear people say that if you are going to heaven, you will take the millions of souls you want with you. No, you go alone. You only, because you can preach to millions of souls and they don't believe. It is not your fault. You get my point? Isaiah preached and preached and preached, and nobody believed him. Jeremiah preached and preached and preached, nobody believed him. Do you blame them? No. And God says to Jeremiah, their blood is not on your head. So God rewards you that you tried. God rewards you that you went. Jonah that was complaining, the one we have been hearing about, that the people are wicked, they are this, God do that, now, those kind of things. God didn't say, go and convert them. He said, go there and just say something. When you finish saying it, go away. It is not your business what happens. And that was what he refused to do. And that's one of the things I want to explain as we are going on. Oftentimes we think we need all the methods of doing things and getting results. You mentioned earlier about motivational speaking. And once when I used to teach on radio, that is before the radio station went down in Enugu, and I still teach on radio now, but the ministry pattern has changed slightly. Then I used to teach what I called the way of success. And many of you may have heard it broadcast that time. And it used to motivate a lot of people. So once I went to preach somewhere, they said, let's welcome. And I saw they printed a bulletin and they wrote on it, motivational speaker. All right? I saw it. I didn't say anything. When they gave me the microphone, I said, everybody, put up your bulletin. If you have it, say amen. They all say amen. I said, open to the page where my picture and my profile was. I said, take your pen. They didn't know what I was. I said, you see that word, motivational speaker? Cancel it. I said, cancel it. I said, in Jesus' name, I'm not a motivational speaker. If you are motivated by my words, good. Some people are condemned by them. Yes, if you don't like righteousness, if you don't follow the way of God, you will be condemned by them. I said, I just speak the truth. Okay? It motivates some people. Quite all right. And like I said there, that how do you want to motivate a dead man to walk? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. A man is dead. Talk to him from now to tomorrow. He's only going to decay. He's not going to walk. But there's a power of life that can impart life to the dead. I said, that is the one I'm in. So if you're encouraged by the word, thank you. But please do not give me that bad name, motivational speaker. They all laughed that day, but I insisted on it. They all canceled it from their bulletin. And I want everybody, never address me as a motivational speaker. That is not what I am. I just preach the gospel. Many people have been motivated by them, but I know of people ahead of that when I start talking, they get up and get away. Not because they believe more than I do, they're just offended by the truth. Yes. All right. Now I'm going somewhere with all of that talk, and that's the fact that you cannot by methods get results. The only thing we do by Christian methods is get obedience. I don't know whether you get how I said it there. That is, what we are supposed to do is do what? Obey. Then God brings forth his fruit. Look at Jonah's story. When Jonah finally agreed to go to Nineveh, he was hoping that they will die. Because he prophesied, 40 days hence, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And he was really waiting for the destruction of that place. In fact, if they had to intercede, he would have interceded for rapid destruction. 40 days plus 1 minute. Let fire and brimstone rain upon the place. But he was surprised that fire did not rain, brimstone did not rain, nothing happened. If anything, there was increase, prosperity. But you know, he was not inside the city, he was far. He was watching. So when 40 days passed, 50 days passed, I don't know how many days he stayed there, he got angry. He said, look at it, this was why he didn't want to come in the first place. What am I trying to say? The man was not trying to get the results of repentance. But he did not realize that once you obey God, he does his work. Do you get my point? So God commanded him, just go there and talk. Leave the rest to me. And that's what Paul was saying. I planted, Apollos watered. God was the one that was causing the growth. And that is the reason why God does not reward anybody for the fruit. He rewards you for what? The labor. And that is the labor of obedience. If he says go there, go there. If he says come back, come back. While you were there, what does he say? Should he say I should sweep? Okay, you finish sweeping. What is the result of the sweep? I don't know. They just said I should sweep. I have swept and I have come back as I was commanded. So that's what Paul wrote. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, God was causing the growth. And that's why I tell people all the time, if you're a believer, be careful that you just obey that which you know. And don't worry about this one gets results. If you've listened to my messages, that's one thing I don't agree with Christians about. This one is working. I said, what do you mean by it's working? Is it the word of God? I don't care whether it works or not. Because you go and read the scriptures. Even God said that, listen, I will still bless Ishmael. But was Ishmael the will of God? I said, Christians must be careful to make sure that their lives are the lives of Isaac. Just because Ishmael, because after Abraham prayed for Ishmael, God said, okay, don't worry about Ishmael. He will live, he won't die. And I will also increase him. He will have seven princes will come out of him and all of that. But he said, but my covenant I will establish only with who? Isaac. And the lives of believers are supposed to be the lives of Isaac. That is, I'm not saying that this doesn't work or this one works. I said, listen, no, as believers, we obey the truth. That is why, you know, you were saying earlier about those who come looking for where money will be plenty. Those who go around raising money, you know, trying to get Christians to drop money. And this is, there's nothing wrong with Christians giving money. It's very, in fact, not that, that's, there's nothing wrong. No, that to say there's nothing wrong is bad. Let me say like it is important that Christians give. I wrote a book on it. I don't know whether it's out there. If it's out there, I beg all of you to please try and get a copy. It's titled, So Who Will Pay For This? That's the title of the book. So Who Will Pay For This? I rushed the book out because I was going for some of my brethren were gathering, so I wanted it out before then. So the number of serious typographical errors, including wrongly quoted scripture. You see Exodus 34. I mean, it was supposed to be 24. You know, stuff like that. Just a mistake. But the truth inside it is complete. Just the next edition will pull out all those typographical errors. But I was rushing it out. That's why we made those mistakes. But please, read the book. I really encourage you to read it. I tell you, so who will pay for this? And what I tried to do in the book was to let Christians get a balance. All right? Now, I'm not talking about that now. But why I refer to it is that where I disagree with a lot of people who raise money and they look, they're always trying to say that if you give now, I swear to you, by next week, God will bless you. You know, it gets me offended. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's not good. I don't see why on earth Christians will just give because they want God to bless them next week. If you want blessing next week, ask. He said, you have not because you ask not. All right? Ask. Ask, you shall receive. And your next week shall be full. You understand what I'm saying? If you want it by next week, ask. But what do we give is a matter of obedience. Do you understand? Whoever gives to a prophet because he's a prophet, he gets his own portion of the prophet's reward. That's what Jesus Christ said. The Shunammite woman was not looking for anything. She just wanted to honor the man. He said, I perceive that this man that goes by us is a holy man of God. Let us respect the holiness. And Elisha prophesied, and she conceived and gave birth to a son without faith. When the boy died, at that time her faith had been gingered. She ran to go and meet the man of God. The man of God laid hands, sent Gehazi with the anointing. Gehazi, nobody was giving offering, so Gehazi could not operate that one. You know Gehazi now. Uh-huh. But finally he came by himself, you know the rest of the story. But the point I'm trying to bring out is the fact that this woman was not looking for anything per se. So people go around telling me stories. One woman gave one this one, and God this one. This person gave this one, and God this one. And this person gave this one. And use that for motivation for Christians to give. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. Because we are not here to discuss this thing works. It's not what works. Is it written? So I tell people that we walk by according to what is recorded. We walk according to the instructions given in the Word of God. When you go and read Philippians chapter 4, when Paul was talking about how those guys gave money to him, you will notice that he was careful to say things. They say, you have rekindled your love for me. And those guys did what they did because they loved him. He said, I remember when I started preaching this gospel, nobody communicated with me in the matter of giving and receiving apart from you alone. The people loved Paul. They loved the work he was doing. And he said to them clearly, God will reward you abundantly. But I say to people, God always rewards your motive, not the cash. It's the motive. He said, if you give money, you get money. I said, it's not true. Money is not a spiritual substance. It's a physical substance. So it does not work on that field. Money for money only works in the bank, only works in the market. Because every seed has its own field. You cannot give corn and expect corn. You plant corn, that's when you expect corn. So why do you think you will give money and get money? It is what spiritually, what God sees is what that money is carrying. And Jesus said it like that. Say, he that sows mercy, I'm using the word sow now, shall obtain what? Mercy. He that honors me, I will what? Honor. Honor can be money. Do you know my point? Mercy can show up as money. But what God sees is what? Mercy. So when he wants to repay you, He converts the mercy to what you need at that time. So Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs, not all the money that you give. If God wants to do this, give, and he knows how he does it, you can give money and he gives you divine health. God knows how to. No, don't think this God doesn't think. It's not a machine. No. It's not a computer. You press the right buttons. No. He can read your heart. He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind before I reward any man for what he thinks he's doing. I check. If you are giving because of yourself, you ain't getting anything. He said, he that sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap what? Corruption. That's what the Bible says. You must understand it. God reads the heart. He checks. He said, oh boy, I need something. What are you going to do now? I'm going to go give. God said, you're not giving, you are investing. And God loves a cheerful giver, not the cheerful investor. There's a world of difference. Christians must have the right motivation. You hear stories like the one we are hearing now, and your heart is moved. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. That is a good cause for giving, not because you're broke. You give whether you have, whether you don't, that is, if you don't have an abundance, out of the little you have, you can give from it. But what is it that's pushing you to give so that you could get more? If it's like that, you are an investor, you love yourself, and you will not be blessed. But because you love the work of God, you love the fact that the gospel of God has to spread, God will bless you. That's what Paul said, that, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Not according to the amount of cash you release, though. Many people's giving this is not motivated by love at all. It's motivated by self-interest. I need a new cow. Let me sew the old one. Yeah, Jaguda. Okay, exactly. Somebody said, only Buruku. Yes, you are selfish. If you did not need a new car, you wouldn't give out the old one. Is that good? If you were God, would you give to you? Think about it. Something happened in my house once. It was very, very funny. It was very, very funny. I have a number of children. Two of them are very close to each other in age, just a year apart, a boy and a girl. All right? That's my second and my third. So once, their mother bought them ice cream and shared out to them. And I met the little girl. I said, give me your ice cream now. Give me from your ice cream. Was it ice cream or drink? Anyway, they were drinking something. So she said, she looked at me like this, like, daddy, like, what are you up to? She said, no. So, and it was a drink, yes. And I turned to to her brother. I said, yeah, Olujile, can I have your, let me drink from your drink now. He handed it to me. This happened like almost 2 years ago. And that means that, let me just give you your age so that you'll be able to put it in perspective. At that, what year are we now? 2013? Okay, 2011. The older one will have been like 6. The smaller one, 5. All right? So, and that's the boy, the older one. And I told the boy, please, can I have your drink? So he just handed it to me. So the sister said, you give daddy your drink, he'll finish it up. Then he turned and said, let him finish it. He's my daddy and I love him. I was moved. I said, Olubinga, a bowl of ice cream for you after church. Maybe like the next day. The sister turned around and handed me the drink. I said, I don't want. This is a Pentecostal offering. I said, this one is a Pentecostal offering. I don't want it. That statement hit me. Matter of factly, there was no more discussion than what I told you now. This is, I said, you gave your dad, you gave daddy a drink, you finish it up. And the boys just turned to her and said, let him finish it. He's my daddy, and I love him. He can finish my drink if he wants. That's what he was saying. The thing hit me seriously. I said, don't worry. For this seed that you have sown, are you getting what I'm saying? I say, a whole bowl of ice cream is for you alone. The sister said, the breakthrough came to the widow of Zarephath when she gave. Are you saying the way Pentecost has risen? She said, here, I hereby sow my own seed, and I have the mind of God. I said, this one is a Pentecostal offering. I will not receive it. In case you do not know, that's how God reasons. He sees it. He sees it. Don't let's think he doesn't see it. He sees it. He sees all these things that we do that we call Christianity. He knows it's a joke. I give because I need. I'm not giving because somebody else needs. There's nowhere in the Bible where he says give because you need. Don't worry, read my book, so we'll pay for this. And Grace to Prosper, I discuss those things in details. I'm ready to let anybody sit down there. Let's talk about it. He said, well, he said, give and it shall be given to you. I said, there's a difference between give and it shall be given and give so that it will be given. Give and it shall be given is a principle. That is, every gift has its reward. It's a principle. It's a principle. It was not a motivation for selfish people. It was an encouragement for good people. Are you getting my point? He said, the widow of Zarephath gave only one offering and her breakthrough came. I said, if you believe that, you've not read the Bible very well. What do I mean? Ask yourself, how did Elijah get there? Did you know that Elijah wasn't stumbling around? Elijah was looking for her. God said to him, I have prepared a widow there to take care of you. And the man traversed the whole of Israel, left the territory of Israel, went to Zarephath in Sidon, and was looking for the one woman. The question we should always ask is, why did God go through that? We make it look as if the woman was going on the road and then one hungry prophet who did not know about her, they stumbled into each other and just said, give me something right now and God will break through upon you. We preach all kinds of messages. $120 for 12 kinds of offering for a breakthrough. Somebody said Solomon gave what's the name of that woman that gave Solomon something? The Queen of Sheba, thank you, gave Solomon 120 talents of gold. And Solomon gave her everything she wanted. Said, now you will give God 120,000 naira and God will give you anything you want. That's a very silly motivation for giving if you're a Christian. If you want anything, pray like Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. That's all. But why do we give to God? We give to God because it is right. We give because we are givers. We are like our Father. He said, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is what? Perfect. Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. So anything our Heavenly Father does, we want to copy. The primary work of Christianity, the primary call of everybody, that's where I began this from, is not to get results, it's to be like the Father. Anything we are doing, we are just obeying the word of God. We are being like Jesus Christ, who is the exact representation of his nature. And when he came to the earth, he said, when he came to the time of the cross, he said, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, no. But for this cause, I came to this hour. There's a reason I'm saying all of these things. So this one get results, this one get results. That's not what we're talking about. Is it truth? Is it the word of God? Is it the doctrine of righteousness? If it is, we follow it. And if we follow it, I'm back to where I began from. If we follow it, God will bring forth results in his season. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? You know, most of us here know the largest church, you know, the way we talk about churches, the largest single church in the world. Where is it? South Korea. Seoul, South Korea. Thank you. And what's the name of the pastor? David Yonggi Cho. I don't know their population now, but some time ago, they were up to 1 million people in one church. When I was reading his books that time, there were 700,000 members of one church. Not one denomination. One church. You understand what I'm saying? The whole of Onitsha are going to one church. Do you get what I'm saying? They used to hold, 12 services. They started on Saturday evening and finished Sunday evening. That is, they had many centers with large screens. The pastor is in one major center. There are many viewing centers all around. And people will queue to enter into the church. And many Christians, at least then when I was studying those things, he said that he started learning the principles of church growth. In fact, the man started a ministry called Church Growth International. How to grow your church. All American pastors will go there. Nigerians too began to learn it. We tried, you know, there are some things, as a young believer there, I'll be watching it, that some of these things are out of order. People shouldn't tell me this is how churches grow. It doesn't make sense. Man will say, if your church wants to grow, you will pray 10 hours a day. I say, oh God, I am not praying 10 hours a day. I have other things to do. No, you know that me, if you know the kind of person I am, I'm not very spiritual, though. Some will say, you fast 40 days. I said, lie, God forbid. I didn't kill anybody. In case I did, I will confess my sin. Forgiveness is not predicated upon fasting. It's upon repentance and confession. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 1. Say, so fast 40 days, bros, you're on your own. He said, in the Bible, I said, who fasted 40 days in the Bible that you know? Name one. They said Moses. Moses was in the front of God. If you did front of God, you go fast for 1 year too. Me, I did my house. I'm not joining. Thank you. I'm telling you. Is that Elijah? I said Elijah. Which Elijah? Elijah will see, what do you call it? Jezebel run. He not fast any 40 days. He was hungry. That angel will come up, chop. He lay down again. The angel said, get up, eat some more, for the journey is long. And the Bible said he went in the strength of that meal for 40 days to Horeb, the mountain of God. If you give me angel food, I will run to Lagos. From here, 500 kilometers, I will make it. But on this bread and upa where I chop, lie, I cannot make 40 days, forget it. People were coming with all kinds of things. I was just looking, I said, this cannot be true. I had enough understanding that these things don't work like that. I'm going somewhere in all of these things. They tried all kinds of methods. Some say it's home cell system. I look here and say, well, you can do home cell if it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I wasn't a pastor of a church. But that is not the reason it happened. I'm going somewhere. I now found out later that long before Yonggi Cho came on the scene, the assemblies of God people were there. They had been praying. Are you getting my point? They had been sowing seeds, preaching and preaching house to house. When the harvest was ready, God sent one man. Everything he did now is not a principle. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was a time that he came. When the harvest was ready, that was when the man showed up. If he had come with those same principles 80 years before, he wouldn't pastor bigger churches than those men who were there. That is why, and it's in the Bible, Jesus said, other men labored, but you have entered into their labor. That is, you see, your harvest is easy. It is not because you know how to do it. It's because Paul planted. And I said, Apollos, water. Then God gave the increase. Then he now said, Peter, harvest. Are you getting my point? When we are seeing Peter harvest, he now comes with a fine suit and says, principles of increase. No, you only know principles of harvest. You did not plant. You did not water. You came to the scene at the time of harvest. Are you seeing? That's why God rewards each man according to his labor. That is why. Because what brought the increase, nobody really knows. All we know is what we, each person, was supposed to do. And we are rewarded for doing it. That's the point I am trying to emphasize. You will go as a missionary to some places. You will labor for years. You may not see the kind of increase you expected, which you had back home. Are you getting my point? Don't worry about it. You just happen to be the seed sower and maybe a bit of watering. But that seed is being sown. It may be in 40 years' time that one small boy with one tiny anointing will just come. I have come here today. Who wants to believe? 2,000 people will give their life to Christ once. And somebody says, you see, don't mind that man who came 40 years ago. He didn't know this thing. They won't know. The only reason 2,000 people can believe once was because that man came 40 years ago. These boys now grew up in school with the name of Jesus in their ears. Their parents have been teaching them. So all their sinful life becomes nothing but backsliding. So when you now make an altar call, the Jesus is no longer new to them. I hope you understand that. Why? Because somebody sowed a seed long ago. You know, God is always working. Let's never think that he has lost. He doesn't lose. No, he doesn't lose. He does not lose. He doesn't. He doesn't. That's why each person, that's why this whole thing is about. Each person just be encouraged to do his own thing. That's all. Obey God the much that is revealed to you. You'll be surprised at what he will do with it. You know, look at Nigeria as an example. And I'm talking about this poor planting and Apollos watering. And God being the one that gives the increase. We pray for this country all the time. But I also say there's another aspect of it. When Daniel and co prayed, Daniel specifically, and then God mobilized Cyrus to come and effect the result of the prayer, that oftentimes we also might need to do the work of God in different areas. That's why I wrote the book, How to Work for God. That's my favorite book, How to Work for God. Emphasizing to people that there are different fields in life which God called each one of us into. Now, there's one I want to use as an example again. Take this politics as an example. God called some Christians to be governors, senators, local government chairmen, House of Rep members, you know, state house members. But most Christians will tell you that it's dirty. They don't have time for it. I also say to them, don't worry about that. If you feel a calling, just go and do what you are supposed to do. If they say obtain form, obtain the form. Say, what if I don't win? Do they send people to prison for obtaining form? No. Then you go home. But you'll be amazed that a time will come when God wants to give the increase. He needs it to be there so he can give that increase through you. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
It's so crucial we get this point that the word grace. The word grace, it doesn't just mean unmerited favor in the fact that we don't know, favor just came. If you check the scriptures, grace actually means the power of God working towards those who believe. Grace is divine assistance to get results. Grace is when God's angels are there with you, you throw a stone at Goliath, he punctures his head. Just a stone. Do you understand my point? But as you sling it, one angel pushes it further. Drives it into his head. Why? Because you obeyed the word of God because of love for God, love for righteousness. Grace is when God gets the results, all right? Brings forth results in your life because you are obedient to his word, you are obedient to his will. Grace is activated by obedience. Paul said it like this: it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. If it's not by faith, it's not in accordance with grace. Grace is not just chance occurrence. No, grace is that when people believe God, they obey God, they move when God says move, they do what is right according to the teaching of the word of God. Any result God brings into their life is called grace. That's what it is. Why am I saying all of these things? Because I'm trying to explain a principle about character. You see it in a moment. You see it. Because Pastor Oliver was saying earlier, he said that a lot of people go away from what they are supposed to do because there's better crowd here, there's better money here. So I'm not supposed to be here, but this is where more crowd is. This is where more money is. That's actually when people are departing from grace. They don't realize how God works. Take that Jonah as an example. Maybe he thought he would get more results in Tarshish. For my children, I used to make that in a joke in the house. So, where are you going? Are you going to Tarshish or going to Ninibi? My son will make a joke. Daddy, he has gone to Tarshish. There was a time it was a joke in our house. Because my wife used to teach them Bible stories and all of that. So that Jonah case was a Bible story at the time. So Tarshish became an issue in the house to express disobedience. This boy has gone to Tarshish. Because he thinks results will come quicker. But this is the funny part. The Nineveh that he refused to go to, where he finally went grudgingly, did you see how the results came? He did not believe that that kind of thing could happen. If you read this book, Final Quest by Rick Joyner, Rick Joyner says that according to his visions, that man was the most powerful prophet of the Old Testament, Jonah. A man who will speak and the whole city will come to its knees. But it's obvious he did not even know it himself. Yes. That's what I'm trying to emphasize to us. Let's just obey God. Don't worry about the results. Don't worry about it. Be concerned about, is it right? Is it proper order? That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness, that word righteousness, means following his proper order. That is, seek first the kingdom of God. How do we seek it? By seeking the proper order of his kingdom, by aligning our lives to his proper order. Say, all other results shall be added. Are you getting the way I'm modifying it? Unto you. Results are added. They are not labored for. Obedience is what we labor for. Paul said it like this. Labor to enter into the rest. He said they could not enter because of what? Disobedience. So the labor is the labor of obedience, not the labor of results. How do I get results? It's simple. Any result I want in life, I pray about it. I ask God about it. Then I start doing what is right. And then start leading me in the path of righteousness so that his name may be glorified in the coming of that result. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. We are talking about our lives as Christians, as ministers, missionaries, business people, as leaders. And what I want to emphasize, like that my second topic says, character is all you need. And then to say all of this for us to know that we don't struggle to bring results into our lives. We allow God bring the results into our lives. That's my first point. Now, there's a scripture I want us to read. That's what we should open to. Okay, we read one. Yes. Now, this one I want to read. In fact, I want to explain a principle to us, talking about this character thing. And what I want to explain is the principle that there are three phases in life. There is a stage of calling. God calls you. There's a stage of choosing. God chooses. And then there's a third stage most people are not careful to note. And that is stage of establishing. That is, a man is called, a woman is called. Or no, people are called. And some are chosen. Amongst those who are chosen, even fewer are established. And you'll see something as I'm going, I just want to bring out. You know, there's a young man who does some work. The other day, my friend and I were discussing, said, this boy is very, very good. And someone now said, now listen to this, I'm putting many stories together. Someone now said that he will go very far in life. And I said, there's no guarantee. Are you following what I'm saying? That what decides whether he will go far or not is not how skilled he is. Is the kind of character he has. I said, gifts don't make a man. Character does. Listen, this is how it works. In fact, that I now talked about one furniture man who used to do some things for me. I said, that fellow is very skilled. But last I knew of him, he was very broke. I didn't have work again. We're not analyzing why. I said, I just look at his life. I said, basically, he has no respect for people. I said, that was my own estimate of it. And he did not know how to I was not a man of his word. I said, what that has done for him now is that he has made him a failure, even though he's a very skilled man. One of my senior colleagues the other day, we were talking. He talked about one footballer he knew in Benin there. He said, J.J. Okocha, that was when Okocha was a reigning thing. He said, J.J. Okocha is an amateur player, where this boy is. That the boy could play ball. That this boy could see him with football. But the boy was in Benin there. Why? He said, because Indian hemp smoking won't let his head be straight. That is, with all the skill he had, he didn't make one. No team in Nigeria itself even employed him. Not to even talk about international. So maybe you saw him playing when he was young and said, man, this boy will go far. He can play. Many people have played before him. They did not go far. And the greatest basketballer America has ever seen, by their own admission, is Michael Jordan. But when he first started playing, the coach that saw him said, this boy does not know how to play. Yet he became the greatest basketballer they ever saw. It was not just inherent skill that made him. He had a character, all right, in that area that made him able to come out when others were going down. It's important we understand, that's what I want to try and explain. That gifts don't make a man. It is not the most anointed prophets or preachers that you hear of. It's the ones that are disciplined and are ready to wait for God to do things in their lives. Those are the ones that make it, in quotes, if I may use that expression, in ministry. If you read this book, The Happiest People on Earth, by Demos Shakarian, the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International, you will notice there, he described the story of one 30-something-year-old preacher he met, who was the most anointed man he ever knew. That the fellow, I think he had some issues. He had one leg or something. Maybe he had a problem with his leg. But he said this young man was so anointed. That he laying hands on the sick, getting healed, small things. Fill the place up for him. The boy will pray for everybody. Everybody will get well. He said, but he noticed something about that fellow. His eyes never left the money. Go and read the book, Happiest People on Earth, by Demos Shakarian. I'm quoting the story from it. That the man seemed concerned all the time about the offering. When they are taking offering now, in they look whether the money they plenty and that was going to happen to that money after. You know, he's concerned. He said he knows that this fellow is always so concerned about money. So one day he sat in there and explained to him, sir, this is how the money matter is. I organize this meeting. I gather many churches. They come to a town. He gathers many churches around. He organizes. He said, having done that, I normally paid the initial bills from my pocket. Then when we take offerings, if the offerings can cover the bills, we'll use the offering to settle all the bills. If the money is not enough, I pay the balance. If the money is excess, we carry the excess and share it to all the churches that participated in the meeting. As for the preacher, on the last day, we take a special offering for the preacher. So people give from their hearts to the man of God. And I can't remember this side now, but I know Demos Shakarian, if he feels the money is not enough, he will have added again by himself. He said he explained this thing to the man, hoping the man will rest. He said the man didn't seem to come to, he wasn't able to come to rest. Then the final day of the meeting, the man was staying in his house. They were cooking for him, taking good care of him. He wasn't paying any expenses. He didn't put any money into the meeting. He said, but the last day of the meeting, the man took 2 hours collecting offering. That he seemed to, he was waiting for everybody's pocket to be empty before he would go. He will preach, you know, you've heard those kind of messages. You are going to give a special offering right now that as you are giving it, you say, God, this is my Isaac. I'm about to lay it on your altar. And that tomorrow, God is going to resurrect Ishmael for you. You know, those kind of promises that God did not make. Imam made them. He said, even if you have given before, you'll come again and say, God, I love you. He said, the man took 2 hours collecting money. Okay? By the time the money was set, the ushers went to carry the money. He quickly closed the meeting and ran after them. Where's my money? Where's my money? They said, you're not the one that organized the meeting. He said, listen, my friend, this is my money. All of you are very stupid people. He told them straight. He told them as I came to his face, that you are a fool. He said it. Those are the words he used. That you are a fool. That you see this kind of meeting going on. You don't know how to connect exactly. To provoke the people to release. You are just wasting it. And this is the point. This is a man who had been laying hands on the sick. They were getting healed. The number of people that gave their lives to Christ in that meeting, Demo Shakarin had never seen. Anointed. He said, but this man loved money. So that day, he carried, by the time Demo Shakarin got back home, the guy had packed his things and gone. He gathered all the money. He suddenly showed up with 2 bags. He didn't know where the bags came from. He was using 2 hands to scoop all the offering into it. At the end, they carried the money and abused all of them and left. In fact, he said his brother-in-law was so angry, if I learned a lesson from it, that he grabbed the man's hand, wanted to collect the money back from him by force. He said he just heard somebody say, leave him. They realized he was the one that said it. He grabbed his brother-in-law and said, leave him. Let him take the money. He said what he was thinking of was simple. He's God's anointed. Forget this nonsense he's doing. God will take care of him. You don't put your hand on the man of God. Let him go. I learned that lesson that day. So let him go. This is his story. 5 years later, is it 3 years later or 5 years later? He was in his office when the same man came inside to see him. He said, when you see him, you knew that he was broke. He looked hungry. He had not shaved. Nothing looks normal for him. So he told one long story of hard luck, how things went bad and all of that. What do you want? Say, needed some money. People like that always need money. He needed some money to get to the next place where he's going. Dr. Shakarin said he packed some money. Yeah, it was a well-to-do man. He gave him enough money to do many things. It allowed him to go. 2 years later or 3 years later, he heard that the man was dead. He was 40-something. The story is that this was a heavily anointed man. I read the scriptures, I realized that gifts don't make a man. It's character that does it. Character is what allows you to endure. Gifts can bring you out. Hey, everybody say, man, this guy is too much. Man, this guy, have you heard him sing? As one musician, because these things are recorded, so I want to minimize how I call names that are not complimentary. One very famous musician in Nigeria at that time. He sang, the whole nation was following him. In fact, a friend of mine who knew something about him said it was a prophet that told him to leave where he was and go to Lagos or something. And that was from where he connected and he became world famous from Nigeria here. He said, now, from what I heard, among secular musicians, he's still respected till today, even though he doesn't sing anymore. That when you see him walking on the street sometimes, you wonder whether he's crazy. So musicians, you know, all these big musicians, they see him, stop him, you know, give him money, you know, try and be nice to him. Before he came to this level, of course, he's going older and older by the day. I'm sure he'll be in his 50s now. But he said, of course, that time, if I mention his name, all of you will know instantly. You know what I'm talking about instantly. All right? I just want to bring out the name so it doesn't go on record. Now, my friend was telling me that I met another friend who his company was managing him at the time. He said, this fellow is too indisciplined. That they will pay him. Now, listen, when I was working for 6,000 naira a month, they will pay him 200,000 naira a night to play. And this was after he done Reko, you know what I mean? Like, he had gone, after when he went abroad, in Nigeria, he was smoking wee wee. If you are smoking Indian hemp, please stay on that level, though. If you go beyond that, see, if you smoke Indian hemp, you're likely to go crazy, all right? But let us assume your brain is very strong. You don't go crazy. Please just stay on that level. If you're not planning to repent, that's why I'm just begging you. Because this man went to America, and America said, oh, you're still smoking weed? Let me show you something else. They gave him crack. You know, they call crack cocaine. Cocaine, you know, all of you know about cocaine. Crack is a purified form of cocaine. And they don't purify it away, they call it crack. My friend said, when the guy went to America, they gave him crack. His head cracked. He wasn't normal again. When he came back to Nigeria, they said, even after he came back, they would pay him 200,000 naira. Look, the time I was telling you about, I was earning 6,000 naira in a month as a doctor. After my NYC, a whole month of working, my salary, 6,000. One night, they give me 200,000. He said, they will get there. My friend was working the company that was managing him. Plain now, you say it's not plain that people are not dancing. Hey, what concerns you whether they dance or not? They gave you 200,000. That's all that matters. They are dancing. They didn't pay to dance. They paid for you to play. That is, indiscipline was what wrecked the man. A skill. If I mention his name now, you will jump. But right now, you don't hear the name anymore. It has disappeared. When musicians, I see some of them, some of my guys who are into music and all that, when they come to Enugu, one guy I was talking to some months ago, he said he saw the guy in Lagos. You see him, he's like, when he's walking on the road, you think he's mad. That the older musician, when they see him, they see, know that, guy, how can he be? And when you hear him sing, oh God. I'm telling you. So you see, and that fellow doesn't, when I, you know, I wasn't into secular music. But one day, I was watching TV, and he came. It was then, by the time he came back for the second round, I was watching TV. When he held the microphone, and he made, just sang one line, I was converted. You know my conversion. And all this time, I never bothered about him. When he was singing, he was popular in the late 80s, late 80s and early 90s. I wasn't bothered. But that day, I just saw him hold a mic like on TV. He sang one line, looked back. The way he moved, I said, this fellow is called into this ministry. You know, the people you just see, you know this one is in his ministry. No. Whether he's a believer or not, that's not what I'm talking about now. But this one he's doing, God gave him that gift. A lot of musicians who are making money, I wonder who sent them in there. But there are musicians you hear like this once, eh? You know this one? God gave him this gift. Even if he's using it to serve Satan. You know, there are certain gifts that Satan doesn't have. In fact, he doesn't have any gifts. He can only corrupt that which God has given. That's all he can do. He make you use it for wrong purposes. I mean, all of you know of Dibanj. You know he was a choir leader in Winners Chapel. Forget all the nonsense he's singing now. Listen, Satan doesn't have any gift. Only God has gifts. But when he has seen that God has given you a gift, he will now come and negotiate with you. Let me make you great, quick. That's what he does. He came to Jesus Christ. All right, since you want to take over the world, let's make you fast. Bow to me. Worship me, and I'll give you everything. Jesus said, do I look like an idiot to you? I'm just paraphrasing it. Jesus refused. At the end of the day, what did Jesus give? The Bible says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever. Satan knows you are going somewhere. He negotiates with you to make you use your gift to serve him rather than serve God. And the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. Some of the most anointed preachers I know are not preaching. They are arguing. Yes. Everywhere they go, they can't help it. They are so anointed. They're always getting into argument and talk. And you'll be looking, this guy is a preacher. But instead of him to settle and agree to preach. But the thing inside him has not left him alone. So he's using it for all kinds of things. Some of the politicians that make a lot of noise, some of them were supposed to preach. But they refused to give their life to Christ. They refused to follow the word of God. So Satan says, okay, let me give you another place. You can be preaching something else. You give them money, influence. When he talks, he moves the nation. But some of us who have some discernment in some area, we all look and say, this one, he should have been preaching. That gift was given for the propagation of righteousness and teaching the knowledge of God. He has gone to use it for motivational speaking. It's very, very common. Because motivational speaking makes money. You do know the temptation inside it? The attempt. How many preachers do you stalk for one whole day? You want to thank him for coming, giving 1 million naira. It's very rare. All of these top motivational speakers to come. You first pay 5 million. Oh, what do you think? Oh, you think it's a joke? A friend of mine was supposed to arrange to host a particular motivational speaker from America recently. He said when he calculated the bill, he said, thank you, I'm not interested. That is, the money is heavy. What? One of my friends in their office, they wanted to invite, this one is a comedian, Alibaba, to just come and moderate a show for them. His bill was 5 million naira. They said, don't bother coming. We'll find somebody else. That is what makes some people get tempted to now go somewhere else. Because when you finish preaching, they don't preach more than the person preaching the word of God. But according to Gordon, so the Osusu is Gordon is one man. Is just by the way, I can say this now. He's always yapping people, so I can yap him too. Abi, I know you want to hear. That's why you're saying yes, sir. One day I was in a church. Gordon's came to. How many of you know Gordon's? A comedian. He came to preach, and I said this under God. God knows I'm not lying. My whole life, I have been going to Christ, I mean like proper churches where the Holy Spirit is present, since 86, 87. That's a long time ago. I can't count 3 meetings. Okay, there's 1, 2. Okay, let me just make it easy. I can't count 5 meetings that was as powerful in all these my years of going to church as the one in which Gordon spoke for 45 minutes one day. I was there. He grabbed the microphone and was preaching on a Sunday morning. He used to pastor a church. That was the time. When he finished, I ran outside to go and look for money. Put it in an envelope. By the time I came out, he had gone. I think I was traveling. I gave it to my brother to go and pursue him. He located the hotel where he was staying to go and give him that. Good afternoon, sir. My brother said I should give you this. They carried him physically out of the hall. When I see him in Lagos now, cracking jokes. I mention his name because that's what he does. He will yap you publicly. So let him hear this, that I said it. When I see him now telling, and he's always saying something. He said, no vex, now so I defined that this, I'm doing this just for money. And I can you see, I see, look at how people miss. See how they miss these things? He cracks some jokes. Sometimes I say, bros, I know it's a joke, but a Christian shouldn't say this. This is too dirty for you. And he say, bros, I beg na joke. Now so I defined. Always crack, he's a comedian. He's a comedian now. His last album, he was thanking his inspirations. I said, bros, you are backsliding. Who are his inspiration? There's one comedian I don't listen to at all. He's foul-mouthed. Basket mouth. If basket mouth starts talking, I go away. He's the only Nigerian that I know that all he does is crack dirty jokes. I've heard him only once. And I said, I never liked what he looks like anyway. So, and it was onto my inspiration, Alibaba. Of course, mention Alibaba, mention those people. I just said, brother, in case they did not tell you, this is original backsliding. And he will say that when children's school fees, they come, you'll be preaching to yourself, you won't know. That's what he was doing. That is why a lot of people get tempted. That's what I'm talking about. That's what, just get tempted. And that's what you must fight. Satan doesn't have power. All he does is to tempt people. When you fall for his temptation, you give him power over your life. I feel like somebody should go and tell God, come back to ministry. Forget all of these things. You'll be poor for 2-3 years. And after that, you will stabilize. You may never become as rich as these other boys you are following now, but you will be in the center of the will of God. And peradventure, you may become that rich. But at that point, it wouldn't matter to you anymore. And those are the kinds of people that God blesses when it doesn't matter to them anymore. What am I trying to say? Listen, gifts don't make anybody. Gifts can make you become known. But the only thing that will establish you is your heart, the character of your heart. I said we should open to the scripture. There are three things I said at the stages in life. There's one in which God calls, there's one in which God chooses, and then there's the one in which He establishes. And we're going to read a number of scriptures to explain them. First of all, the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 14. Don't bother opening to it. It's something we all know. I will just quote it and then we'll continue going. He said, many are called, but few are what? At least we know that. Then read 2 Peter chapter 1. That is the one I want us to read. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll read verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1. Where I want is verse 10, but I always like to back up. In fact, this is important. Let's read the whole of 2 Peter up to that verse 11. Where I want is verse 10, but I just, as I open to it, and I realize that there's something to learn, which I've taught on again and again from the earlier portions. It said, from verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Please, because of time, I jump when I'm reading a long portion, all right? So please try and follow me. I'll let you know which verse I'm in. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Remember, my first topic is success is who you are. That is God's promises. They have granted to you everything that pertains to life and godliness. So that, He said, God has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. He said, now, because this is your nature, this success, for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith. Supply moral excellence. Everybody please say moral excellence. That's what we are calling character. In your moral excellence, supply knowledge. And in your knowledge, supply self-control. That's part of character. If all of these things is what we call character. And your self-control, perseverance, is still part of character. Ability to endure difficult situations. And your perseverance, godliness. That is, as you are enduring the difficult situations, don't deviate from the principles of godliness. And your godliness supply brotherly kindness. Sometimes people are in dire conditions. They think only of themselves. So, and your brotherly kindness supply love. That is love for everyone. Now please notice verse 8. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, verse 10, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain or to ensure you are established about his calling and his choosing you. That is, you are called, those who were called were chosen. But now that you have been chosen, be diligent to make certain that calling and that choosing. As long as you practice these things that we listed, brotherly kindness, love, faith, perseverance, moral excellence, you will never stumble. Please notice it. As long as your character is together and you practice these excellent things of character, you will never stumble. That is how you will endure. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Please, I hope you are following that. That is, you have been called, you have been chosen. But there are things that, in simple terms, we can group as character. He talked about moral excellence. He talked about faith. He said you use diligence, work on it. You apply knowledge, self-control, godliness, perseverance. All those things is what we call character. And Peter said that is the only way you will not stumble. That is the only way your ministry will not collapse. That is the only way by which your business will not collapse. That is the only way. That is the only way. Your gifts will not help you to be established. Your zeal, please listen to this, oh. Your zeal will not establish you. The only thing that establishes you, that will make you prosper and you will not fail, is your character, your moral excellence, your habit of godliness, your habit of telling the truth. You know, Paul said as a preacher, quickly open to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This was what Paul said about himself as a preacher. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you're in ministry, listen to this. In chapter 4, I wanted to say, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, we have, verse 1, said, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Please notice that too. I just want to quickly read. Let me just see what other translations, how they describe that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that is what we are talking about, character. One of the mistakes people in ministry make these days is that they think that you can manipulate the word of God to get your own results. You understand? It says, this is in the Message Bible. Since God has so generously let us in on what he's doing, we are not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. Did you hear that? That we are not about to walk off the job and throw up our hands just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. We don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. This is very important for preachers. One of the things I see, because we're talking about leaders now, that's why I need to emphasize this. If you're a preacher, you are not, the word of God is not supposed to be used, you know, I told you earlier about getting results. It's not supposed to be used to get results, it's supposed to be told. The truth is supposed to be told. Like I said to preachers, if you want to collect money, say simply, please, brethren, we need money. Who will give us? Is that hard? It's not wrong. If you don't mind doing it, please, we need money. If you are going, but not, I have come today. As I was coming, God said he wants to give 5 cars out today. And only the first 15 people that will come out with an offering of 100,000. See, when you start like that, excuse me, one of my friends the other day, he called me early in the morning. He's my colleague at work. He calls me pastor. He called me early in the morning. He said, pastor, there's a problem. Early in the morning. He said, pastor, there's a problem. I said, what do you mean? What's the problem? That he's just not leaving church. That he's just not leaving his church. That they told them in church, come tomorrow morning. They have an early morning, you know, breakthrough prayer meeting, that kind of thing. One minister was coming. So he carried his family, went to church around 6 a.m. He got to church. And they said, God is going to bless somebody today. The whole church shouted, amen. There are 20 special people here today that God wants to bless this morning. Everybody shouted, amen. If you're amongst the 20, let me see your hand. A church of maybe 500 or 1,000 people. Of course. Okay, everybody didn't come. Let's assume there were 400. A hand went up. You are amongst the 20. Okay, rush forward now with 50,000 naira. My friend just grabbed his wife. That one grabbed their children. Just said, let's go. He was so angry. It was when he entered his car, started driving off furiously. He now picked his phone and called me. I said, what is it? He said, there's a problem. There's a problem. He was so angry. I had a very good laugh that day. He is that you made me leave my house this early morning. Why didn't you just tell me simply, please, oh, I should bring 50,000 naira. I would have sent it. I wouldn't have bothered. You come and pretend to me as if you want to bless me. Meanwhile, you want to collect money. He was so angry. If you see him, he's a very humble fellow. In fact, the head pastor of their church, I hear that the man respects that my friend a lot. He's a very humble fellow. One of my boys, you know, one of my younger people in ministry, he's a senior pastor in their church. So I tell him that man is well respected, though. That is, he's a very humble person. So for him to get angry, walk out while the preacher is talking. Imagine the level of provocation. If you're a preacher, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Brethren, please, we need 1,000,000 naira. I know some of you, God has blessed you. Please, how many people will give me 50,000 naira? We'd have 1,000,000 naira bill to meet. There's no problem with that. Honestly, I don't do it, you know, often, but it's not because, not even often. I just generally don't do it, all right? It's just a personal issue, all right? Uh-huh. But it's not because it's wrong. Nothing wrong with it. Just tell people simply. And you'll be, oh God, you see, wait till you meet Christians that God's Spirit is working in. They are very nice people. You hear what I say? They are very nice. Good Christians with the Word of God inside them, they are good people. If you just tell them the truth, and they see that what you are saying is true, they will go back home, wherever they kept the money, they will bring it, and give. Once you are an honest and a man of integrity. A friend of mine, the other day, he said to me that he shared this with his leaders in his church. One day, now listen to this, a house suddenly came up for sale. And something in him said that I want to buy that house for myself. Now this, he wanted to buy it for himself. So he just made a call to some of his friends. Look, guys, this is the situation. This house is a good deal. And they just said, how much is it? He told them, they gathered the money and sent it to him. Just gather the money. A whole house. And he said it clearly, say, the deal has to be concluded this week. And that I'm not asking for a loan because I can't pay back. I don't know whether you hear what I said. He said it flat. I'm not asking for a loan. I can't pay back. And guys just said, okay, that's not a problem. So they're calling themselves. You, come. How much do you have there? I'm trying to get this amount of money. Oh yeah, you. Okay, okay, I will lend you. You will give me back later. I say yes. That's how they gathered at the end of the day. They carried the money and sent to him. When they gave the owner of the house the money, that one was shocked. That you mean say this pastor gave money like this? But he didn't have. He was using to teach people that he was just a man of integrity. He just realized that, I would like to buy this thing. I would like to own it. I can't give you all the details about it. But he just said this was his conclusion. And he gave me the reasons. Guy said this is good. And while he was sleeping, men were, give me your own portion. You know, finally the money is complete now. Draw for him. So nobody is saying that it's a bad thing. But they say, as I was sleeping this night, God began to show me that some people are about to go up. And the way by which they will go up is if they first sell all that they have and give to me. Now you are begging to be destroyed. If you're a preacher, you are begging to be what? Destroyed. Paul said, we renounce those things. First, God calls you. You have answered the call to become a minister, to become a missionary, to become a businessman, to become a politician, whatever God has called you into, because God calls people to different areas. Please, I like to read that book I wrote called How to Work for God. Because everybody has an area that God calls him into. The fact that you have answered the call does not guarantee that you will go far there. Answering the call is the first step. What did I call it? What did I call it? Many are called. Those who answer the call are the ones that are chosen. Amongst those who are chosen, God now says, work to ensure that this your calling is sure. And there was a man who we all know, we should read the story, who when he got to that point, he failed there. Quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 13. That was a man that when he got to that point, he failed. Because of time, we won't read the whole thing. But you know that when Saul took off as king in Israel, and the first battle he was going to go for, one of those first ones, he and Samuel had an arrangement. And the arrangement was that you will wait for 7 days, then I will come. And as a priest, I will offer the sacrifice before you go out to battle. Now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. That was his excuse. So Saul said, bring me the burnt offering. What he did essentially was that I don't have time to go into it in details, but he disregarded the priestly office. That was what he did. Thinking that as a king, he has their power, he has the anointing, but which was wrong. He said, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. To let you know that Samuel came within 7 days, the Bible says, as soon as he finished the burnt offering. Do you understand? Because it was a 7 day, then Samuel didn't show. He said, let me do it. As soon as he finished, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. But Samuel said, what have you done? He said, I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that it did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. Now verse 13 is our message for today. Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. He was called, the whole of Israel was called. He alone was chosen. But whose kingdom will endure was to be decided after he had been crowned king. You have been anointed into office. You have become a blessed preacher of the gospel. You have sacrificed much for the gospel. You have become a businessman. You are a missionary, like we have been encouraged, all right, to put in our minds. You are an evangelist, a traveled evangelist. You are a pastor of a church. Whatever it is that you have done for God is the beginning. What did I call it? You've just qualified for the heavens to check whether you can be established. Then the test of life now starts, and it's with those tests of life that God now decides whether your kingdom will endure or it will not endure. I started by explaining something at the beginning, that you just do what is right and you let God take care of himself. You let God bring the results into your life. You just do that which is right and let God bring the result into your life. It is not that you labor, because you see, you will see, it is always very easy to the discerning eyes to know when a man or a woman is being tested to check whether the kingdom will endure. It is always do what is wrong to get quick results. I don't know whether you hear what I said. The test is always, the Philistines are coming, quickly do something. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. It's always the time of trial that no one will talk about temptations. Let me tell you something about temptations, which I like to tell people. You know why they are called temptations? Because they are tempting. If it's not tempting, it's not a temptation. I don't know whether you got that. There will always be a reason to want to do it. That's why it's called a temptation. There will always be a reason to want to do it. There will always be something to gain. If I'm going on the road now and an area boy slaps me, that's not a temptation. That's affliction. I'm inside the market. Maybe I'm inside the motor park. As I did so, let's look at me like this. And area boy, I won't be tempted to fight him back. That's not a temptation. I just know I've sinned. And this is a judgment of God, because this is not temptation. I will not... Inside motor park. I'll be tempted to run. Okay, you can say it's a temptation to run or not to run. I'll say, eh? You won't try me? Wait here. Let me go and call police. Then my mama enter motor, they go. She didn't behead me. He didn't stab me. I only slap. But temptation is when your roommate amongst, you understand my point, amongst your peers pushes you like this. Say, eh? This boy wants to disgrace me. Are you getting it? That's not a temptation. That one is a temptation. That's what temptations are. They are tempting. It's when they tell maybe a university lecturer, like I am, just add 3 marks to this person. Here is money. And it is the time that schools are just opening. You know, you have 2 children in secondary school. As we're on strike, they have not paid you. And this school that your children are going to, they know they take nonsense. After 1 week of opening, you can't come to school again. And school fees, this is expensive. And somebody's not saying you should do anything bad, though. They're just saying that they should just have mercy. You know, they won't say do wicked, just have mercy. We are begging you, sir. It's mercy. As a man of God, and as a child of God, it's just 5 marks so that this boy can graduate. You get my point? Everything is, you are a good person. Yeah. At the end of the day, the young calculated children's school fees, and the boy's father is very rich and is offering you 250,000 naira so that his son can so-called graduate. Now, that is temptation. For a lot of people, that is temptation because God can understand. I want to help. You know, you suddenly say, I want to help the boy. It's not because of the money, actually. I just want to help the boy. God is looking like this boy. You think I'm a fool of me? Why didn't you help him when his father brought 250,000? That's what it's called, temptation. Temptation is when the Philistines are about to show and Samuel has not yet come. And you know you need the blessing of the priestly office and you are not allowed to offer that offering yourself. That's temptation. But this is the funny part of it, the sad side also. That is the very point in which God is determining whether you will go far or you won't. He's not angry. You must understand something about God. It's not as if he's angry like, what did he do? I'm going to kill him today. No. It's more of someone you can see he cannot endure as a king. I don't know whether I get the point. It's a simple arrangement. It's a simple judgment. We are not angry. We are not sad. You have just made it clear that you cannot be established as a king. Many business people, that is the issue. Friends are making money, they are not making. How are you people doing it? By the time they finish telling them the story, the man knows first of all that this is wrong. But after a while, other people are buying cars, he's not buying. They are building, he's not moving forward. And then, after a while, they start explaining and rationalizing. He knows it is wrong. Then he does it. God says, okay, you've done well. You have 2 shops. That is where you are going to end. You are not a candidate to replace Dangote. That's what keeps Christians capped. So when I start praying, there is an anointing tonight to break all the ancestral... The ancestral curse is not your problem. The only problem... Ancestral curses are tied to ancestral sins. I hope you know that. Did you hear what I said? Ancestral curses are what? They are tied to ancestral sins. If you are giving your life to Christ and you are not there doing ancestral sins, you are not under an ancestral curse. It's when God comes to establish people, all right, on their own thrones, he gives them a test and they are not established. I said something at the beginning. That's why I said, Lord, this is what I said. The kind of results God wants to bring into your life is not what you labored for, it's what you qualified for. Did you hear what I said? It is what you qualified for. God, we're talking about business also. God can make any child of God a billionaire. That is, when they mention Dangote's name, Dangote say, oh, I have one senior brother, and this is that Christian's name they are mentioning. That is, senior brother in business, that's what I mean. God said, I can do it. How do we start? It's not how do we start. If I've called, because everybody has a calling. That's one thing you must understand. there are things I don't pray to for myself for. I am not interested. One day, a friend of mine, I said, don't worry, one day you'll be CMD, that's chief medical director of my teaching hospital. And I said, which kind of prayer is that? I reject it in Jesus' name. Say, why? You don't want to be CMD? Yes, I don't want to be CMD. Because if I'm CMD, I can't guarantee you I'll be at this meeting. Because if I'm in the office and a phone call comes from Abuja, I'm under obligation to report there. Is it a bad thing? No, it's just not my calling. Somebody else is supposed to do that. I put as primary in front of the things that I do, the preaching of this gospel. It's my own primary assignment. So there are blessings you will bless me with, I will reject it. So that's not a blessing, it's a distraction. Alright? So, but there are Christians that their own assignment is, take business as an example. You are going to be a billionaire. You must understand that being a billionaire is not about money. It's about influence. It's about what you control. It's your ability to direct things. Are you getting my point? It's not the amount of cash you have to spend. That's not at all what it's about. It is who will employ 50,000 people. Who will bring uninterrupted power supply. Who will build a refinery. Who will build enough private universities that are affordable. You're getting my point? Who will fly very safe planes. Who will invest in internet, maybe Wi-Fi all over the country. Who will produce, who will produce cars that are properly made in Nigeria, not made in China and branded in Nigeria? No, we do a lot of made in Nigerian things that are actually made in China but branded in Nigeria. No, God is saying, look, who are the people that will produce all these equipment locally? That's what it means to be a billionaire. It doesn't mean that who is the man who eats well and then flies a private jet and everybody is doing him rank a did it. That's not the meaning of the word billionaire. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So to occupy such an office, God actually has anointed, he's calling, or he has called. Many people have been chosen, they're on their path. Then I say, will it be established in this thing? So let's start testing their character. Many people are contesting for governor in Nigeria, If I said it make you laugh. There are people who are missing their ministry. Because some of the people just have some money. They say, this governorship position, let's go. God says, I didn't send you to do that one. But somebody said that, look, that's an easier way to build up your empire. They go for it, that's it. He said, today I will have established his ministry. That is, in that business area. Many pastors, the same thing. After preaching around for a while, like they say, like Godon's, that Christian comedian I was telling you about, he will say, the osusu is not dropping. Somebody will say, start a church. That's where the money is. The day he settles down, hires a hall, God says, I will have established his ministry. He will have become another Billy Graham or become another Rehan Bunky. But leave him there. He will pass out the church will grow big. But he will not endure. Where God always disqualifies people is when they know what is right to do, but pressure makes them do the opposite. That's why they are disqualified. Let me say something, because I want to stop. This is not supposed to scare Christians. It's supposed to, because Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and choosing sure. That means there's something you can do. He said, what you do therefore is add to your faith moral excellence. It's something you consciously add to your faith. That's it. One, of course, this is my own teaching about it. First of all, you must be a man of prayer. And when I say prayer, and I don't mean man of prayer fighting demons. There are those who believe they should wake up at 6 a.m. fighting demons. 2 a.m. Have you heard that thing before? That demons are most active before between 2 and 3 a.m. You've heard it before? I hope you don't believe it. I thank God. Because it's not true. Okay, maybe they are most active, but the blood of Jesus is active all the time. Are you getting my point? You are covered all the time. The name of Jesus you release at 8 p.m. is still working till tomorrow. Even doctors, they have injections that work for 24 hours. They have injections that work for one whole month. How much more the name of Jesus? So don't worry. Just go and sleep. Amen? If you want to stay up at night, stay up at night for good purposes. Like, okay, everywhere is quiet now. It's now time for me to study. It's a good reason to stay awake. If you want to stay awake for good prayers. It is time to do my own cultic activity. Remember? I take the word of God, I start declaring it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because we should do that. We should meditate. You know, if you are like many people, like I am, you have children, you have work, you have sometimes the best thing to do is to go and sleep very early. Then wake up at 12 midnight when everybody has gone to sleep and everywhere is quiet. Then you can study. In fact, my wife is very good at that one. Sometimes I wake up during the night, I see her, she's sitting down there. She has a book, she has a pen, she's reading, and she's underlining. And sometimes, you know, it's good I married my wife because she does a lot of praying for me. And then I peep, she's there declaring the word in the name of Jesus. I have very good, then I can go back to sleep, you know. I was very good at that. But the problem is, if you want to do it for the right reasons. Those are the reasons Christians do. We don't wake up at night to be fighting demons. It's an insult. What did I call it? You wake up at night for good things. Like declaring the word of God is a good one. It's a good one. Like studying the word of God, you can say, okay, everybody has now gone to say, okay, I now have my time. It's quiet. I can now meditate without, because once my wife and I are in the house, the children are always, every 2 minutes, they knock on the door. Coco, who is that? It's me. Amena. What is it? I want to tell mommy something. Okay, come in. You're walking. What is it? When I was moving just now, Benga just pushed me from the back. You know, children. Okay, go and tell him that daddy said, no more pushing. You go away. You know, that's how they be trooping in and out. And if now mistakenly give somebody something, maybe, okay, take this sweet. He now goes out. And my wife said, they are soon coming. Then they start coming one by one. So while it is day, you can do very little. So at some time, let everybody, when they go to bed, you to go to bed. Then wake up at night, take a book and begin to study. Begin to pray. Begin to meditate about your own ministry. It can be a preaching ministry. It can be a business ministry. It's a good time. It's a good time to water tomorrow. Be declaring the word of God to you. Because what resists Satan is actually the upliftment of the word of God. It's not this, I resist, I resist. If you like, resist. If you're his friend, he's your friend. He'll still come tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? But if you uplift the word of God, all right? If you uplift the word of God, Satan is resisted. Is that all right? Okay. Now, why I'm bringing out this issue is that it's a good time. What we use prayer for mostly, according to the word of God, is to use it to shape your own character. That's what I'm trying to explain. When I'm going to tell you that, look, your own way is not the straight. You don't tell the truth. Don't argue. Go and think. Did you hear what I said? You go and think and you pray. Because if it is true, it is true, and you need to repent. If you catch yourself, one day one brother was discussing, he said, that one lady called him, he's a married man. And this is good to tell yourself the truth. If you lie to yourself, it's the worst thing one of the worst things, let me put it like that you can do to yourself as a Christian. Telling yourself lies. Tell yourself the truth. He said a lady called him to please come and help. A young woman, he's a married man. And he entered his car, drove to go and help her out. Then suddenly he told himself, did you see the way you jumped up? Why? Now, I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. He told himself the truth. Oh boy, this is attraction. Behave yourself. You're a married man. And in fact, that's why he was telling this testimony. That he said, No, this is not right. That this is not right. He didn't do anything bad though. You know, the way we talk about, but nothing. It's just that a woman called him, not his wife, and it moved him with excitement and he jumped out. He said, no. In Jesus' name, I reject this. Some people are praying that prayer when it's too late. You understand what I'm saying? When it's time to be repenting of evil they have done. This one from the beginning. He said, what was that? What caused that excitement? No. He turned it to prayer. Let me add my own words now. My ministry must endure. I must be successful in this life. I add to my faith moral excellence in the name of Jesus. Any woman calls me, I'm not excited again. These are serious prayers people need to pray. I'm telling you the truth. When you realize that you're a business person, you are beginning to tell plenty of stories because of extra money. It's not time to be feeling bad. It's time to go home and say, oh boy, which time did your life become like this? Look, it's not about struggle. It's about learning how to pray. I say it all the time. One of the best things God did for Christians is to give us the ability to pray. When you get on your knees and say such things out, to confess just means to acknowledge. It's not to say, God, I will not do it again. God knows. If you say, I won't do it again, you will do it again. I will not do it again doesn't work. In Christianity, it is God. Did you see that? This is wrong. I acknowledge. God said to them, only acknowledge your iniquity. I acknowledge my iniquity. And God now says simply, I forgive you of that and I cleanse you from that tendency. That's how it works. Listen, I just want to end my message there. We as believers, human beings generally, and particularly Christians, what makes us endure in life is not the fact that you are anointed. Your skill does not make you endure. Many people that feel are very skilled, they are heavily anointed. The only thing that makes us endure in life is character, which Peter outlined for us there. Moral excellence. One of the ones I like to tell Christians emphatically is, tell the truth all the time. Tell it to yourself, tell it to other people. There's, you know, when we were children, there's one joke we used to play. We thought we were smart. We didn't know God. You're saying, leave them, they are children, they will learn. If you're supposed to be coming from, let's say you're supposed to be coming from this door now. Assume that I tell you, go and wait outside there. And I said, you're coming. I said, where are you coming from? I said, I'm coming from there. Meanwhile, you know that you are coming from the gate. But so that it won't be you coming from the gate, you go and go around and go and wait there for like 5 minutes. And then you understand what I'm saying? Where are you coming from? I'm coming from outside there. Which is true on the surface. But the truth is that you intended to deceive. Are you getting what I'm saying? The facts may be accurate, but you had an intention of deception. You wanted to give me the impression that you haven't left that place since I told you to go and wait there. It is still a lie. No matter how accurate the facts are, the intention is deception. And God can see it. Don't under any guise as a Christian deceive people. No. Even for their own good. I'm just trying to help him. That's how you're deceiving him. Moral excellence, especially when we're business people. In fact, Peter Daniel says that it's for your own good to be a truthful businessman. Because if you tell the truth all the time, you will deliver yourself from trouble a lot. You won't make gain initially, the way that people are making it. But who needs that kind of gain anyway? The one that is made from deception. If you are going to become big enough to display some big names in the country, God is not going to say because you worked hard, you built your business. He's going to say because as a man, as a woman of character, you qualified for that position. Those are positions you qualify for, not things you work for. Did you hear what I said? Many of the things we are laboring for in life, they are not things you work for. They are things you do what? Qualify for. It's like becoming maybe a manager somewhere. It's not because you worked there. You apply. They check your CV. They check this, check this, and say, okay, you are qualified for the position. Somebody has built the company and then put you in charge. That's what the Lord did in that Luke chapter 16. He went out to go and take a kingdom. Then he gave money to his servants to be managing. By the time they came, as they managed the money, he put them in charge of cities. You qualify for these things in life. There is a kingdom that God wants to put you over. Listen to me, you qualify for it. And what I'm describing today again is, Peter said this is a moral excellence, matter of knowledge, the matter of brotherly love, kindness, perseverance. It is character that will make your kingdom go far. I hope you got to my point. How do you establish that? Don't forget. Keep on feeding yourself with the word of God. And every time the word of God convicts you of something, you get on your knees and pray. Let me just say this as I close. Please leave the devil alone. What did I say? He has become a distraction to many Christians. You give him the power he doesn't have. So he's very happy. You say, let's go and deceive them. You come. Everybody will stay up all night. This devil that says we will die young, we won't die. Everybody, Holy Ghost fire, the whole night. all of them are still committing the kind of iniquities they were committing days before. I'm blaming ancestral curses. Let me say it again. Leave the devil alone. I'm not saying you're afraid of him. I'm saying he's not worth the amount of time you are giving him. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you uphold the word of God in your life, the devil is automatically resisted. I am saying as long as you are following God, he doesn't have power over you. I'm saying that the blood of Jesus has already delivered you from those so-called ancestral curses, so don't worry about them. I'm saying many of the problems you and I have in life, they are problems that are supposed to be solved. They are not things caused by Satan because he has power over us. Don't follow anybody to the village to go and do deliverance. It's modern day waste of time. Did you hear what I said? I always crack this joke. Any witch that wants to stay inside the tree is kind. He has left the house for you, left the land for you, left your car for you, left your body for you. He said to stay in the tree in the village. If I were you, this is the kind of prayer I would pray. All you witches in that tree, I command you to remain there. Don't come out. If you come out. He said, what if I pass by? Do I walk the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil now. He said, witch, stay there. You cannot afflict anybody. You stay inside there. If I drive you out now, you're going to enter somewhere else. You have to drive witches. You know even Jesus, when he was driving out demons, he allowed them to enter some places. So if it's some wicked Christian, they say, no. Let's enter the pig now. They say, no, you can't enter the pig. Jesus saw the demons were plenty. Let's come out of this man. They say, please, can we enter the pig? Now, Nigerian Christians are funny. The witches have not entered into a tree. You still want to chase them from there. I think they're in a good place. Any witch that has any tree should stay there. It should stay there. They are not the reason why a Christian in town is not making progress. They cannot be. They can't be. How can a witch inside a tree be the reason why you, 300 kilometers away, is not doing well? Let me just tell you this, I know it for sure. Don't worry, they are not there anyway. They are not there. They too, they are looking for what to eat. Stay inside a tree, you won't make progress. You understand my point? Many of those witches have gone to work. They are looking for somebody to... Didn't you read that the Bible said that the devil goes around looking for who to devour? They don't just stay inside a tree. Look, even witches have to eat work before they eat. Even you don't know stealing is hard work. Your daddy, somebody broke into our offices where my ministry is. He entered our place, but they didn't take anything. When I saw the amount of climbing the person had to do, I said, why don't you just do this climbing during the day? So don't worry about it. That's what I'm going to emphasize. The fact that you have been delivered. What did I say? Say, I have been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan has no power over me. Say it, Satan has no power over me. The blood of Jesus has washed away my sins. Say it, I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free. Listen, even though you are afflicted, it's not the devil. God has delivered you already. He said, my people perish because of the devil. Because of lack of knowledge. If you understand the word of God, you know you don't need all that attention of the devil. All the devil wants to do is to make sure you doubt the word of God. So put your attention on believing the word of God. And it's automatically resisted. Listen, anything, any evil, your lack of a holy character cannot bring into your life, Satan cannot. What attracts evil towards us is all this behaving like the world. Having the same ideas about like the world. Like if I don't have money, I'm dead. Are you getting my point? Competing with other people. My friends have bought cars, I have not bought. Those are the things that lead us to iniquity, not devil. The devil doesn't have that power. All he does is tempt, lie to people. And you will not be a subject of his lies in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you were blessed this morning. Sorry, it's no longer morning. This afternoon. But you have been. The blessing started in the morning and entered into the afternoon. And you know, sorry, I finished my message. I just want to talk, all right? Praise the Lord. I finished, amen? Father, we thank you for that word. Thank you for your people. They have been liberated in the name of Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you that I finished my message. That's why I prayed that prayer. I want to talk. Can I talk? Let me tell you the truth. When God wants to take people from one level to another, this is what he does with their time. Yes. I said something yesterday. Let me say it again. The poor have what? The gospel preached to them. He didn't give the poor money. Why did he do like that? Many of the hindrances we have in life is because of wrong orientations. And God does not change orientation by the laying on of hands. He doesn't change it by prayer. He changes it by instruction. So it's as you expose yourself to instruction with the word of God that your situation in life gets turned around. Many people are going for prayer. They've been going for the last 7 years. Every Friday, they are somewhere doing deliverance. Go and ask them, have you been delivered? No, ask them honestly. Okay, in fact, do you need to ask? If you are still going for deliverance after 7 years, what proof do I need again that you have not been delivered? Because if you had finished the deliverance, you should have stopped since. What will have delivered them is something like this. Sit down and let the word of God be entering you. And as it's coming out, it's removing the reasons why you were bound. He said the yoke will be destroyed because of fatness. What King James calls the anointing. The Bible says your yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness. What is a yoke? A yoke is a band around the neck that ties an animal to the load he's supposed to carry. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That's what Jesus was saying, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. He said, take my yoke upon you and do what? And learn of me. It is by learning that you take the yoke of Jesus. That's how he removes the former yoke from you. What is a yoke? A yoke is that which grabs the neck like this. And Isaiah said, the yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness. King James calls the word anointing. But if you read other translations, it said fatness. What does it mean by fatness? If you put a small chain around my neck and I'm getting fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter, bam, it breaks after a while. So God said, the way by which I deliver you permanently is to give you spiritual weight. Many people who you pray for, bam, be delivered. They are delivered for 1 hour. When you go home, Satan said, the neck is as lean as before. Bam, he joined the thing back again. But when you pump the fellow full of the word of God and he becomes fat, that yoke can never encircle that neck again, and he or she is permanently delivered. Amen. That's how the gospel delivers people. How you are blessed today? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.